Mike O'Mara, Radio Entertainment.
This episode of the Mike O'Mara Show is brought to you by our Amazon page. It's the most important way to support the Mike O'Mara Show, especially during the holidays. The next time you need to buy any gift for that person you love, just go to MikeO'MaraShow.com/Amazon or click the Amazon button on our website, then shop like you normally would. It's that simple, and happy holidays from the Mike O'Mara Show and everybody at Amazon.com.
Available on demand every day in iTunes and the Google Play Store. And around the world on MikeO'MaraShow.com. What more can we do for you? It's the Mike O'Mara Show.
And now another episode of The Difference Between Rich and Poor.
Oh.
You know, I would venture to say...
These are the days of our lives.
Wealthy people probably don't drop as many things as poor people.
I don't know if that's true.
Physically
in a day-to-day, like, say, cooking a meal, preparing for the day. This is my theory. Would you like to hear my theory?
Yes. Yeah.
The theory is this. They don't drop as many things because they've got more space to put things on.
No. More counter space.
It's not a square footage of table. I will counter that because...
Get it?
Counterpoint. The only reference I have, Mike, is phones, and I'm thinking of the wealthy people I know in my life.
Well, you certainly speak from it honestly. You live in probably the least amount of space of anyone.
Yes.
Yeah, he lives in tiny house.
But I'm also surrounded by wealthy people, right?
Right.
And they all have cracked screens. All of them.
Cracked screens on televisions?
On their phones.
Oh, on their phones.
You know why?
Why?
All their floors are marble.
Oh.
They're hard surfaces.
Wow. Marble.
Or I don't even know what you call it.
Travertine.
Yeah, I see that. I can't even afford it. I don't know what we call it.
No, but I'm my thing is this.
What is travertine? I've never heard of such a thing.
Let me tell you about my shot glass that I have in the bathroom, okay? I've got my DayQuil, NyQuil shot glass. I'm at the CVS like 2 years
ago.
Whiskey. And I get a perfect shot glass that they have for sale. I forgot where it was, like in the corner of one of the aisles.
But is it glass?
Yeah. Hold on. Let me finish.
Wow.
Before you attack, just let me finish, okay? So I sat there and I look and I see this shot glass and it's got the little lines on it. And it's got ounces. It's got milliliters. It's got the whole thing you need. And I think at the time we were, it was one of Michael's little illnesses that we were treating him for. And it was perfectly laid out. And it wasn't like the little cheapo plastic ones that come with the NyQuil. And so I've had it forever. Now, yesterday, I'm taking my DayQuil before the show and I... drop it, and in midair, I catch it. Cat-like reflexes, I snatch it, okay?
Meow.
What it is, I wash the thing out, I dry the thing out with a tissue, and then I put it back on top of the DayQuil. Today, same move, but I don't catch it.
Mm.
Shatters in a million pieces on the floor, and I realize the reason this is because I've got this here, I've got that here, I'm like this, okay? These are the way my hands are because I have no space to move around. And it's the same thing when I drop something in the kitchen. It's because every inch of counter space, and by the way, we are not deprived, as far as I'm concerned, with counter space in the O'Mara household.
Yeah, nice setup.
Yeah. For a small home, I think we do really, really well, but it's still not enough. You get the people with these palaces that have the cavernous counter space, and they don't drop stuff because they can put something here, they can put something here, they can put something here. It's not all side by side in one little space. Do you understand?
All right, Rob Ford, listen to me.
What? Why am I Rob Ford?
Because what you're doing is what Ford always tries to do when...
Blame the circumstances?
He blames the circumstance of the studio or where the mics are for him knocking things down or brushing by something that falls on the ground.
Breaking a knob.
Breaking a knob.
Yeah, pile on, pony. Pile on. I love it when you pile on. You don't say three words. Pile on me.
That's how he operates,
didn't help me with those speakers yesterday, but help me out.
You got a stereo.
Thanks.
And
brilliant.
We finally
advisor.
Drilled down on Ford, and we're like, well, what, dude, why are you so mad about this?
By the way, because I dropped that and because of the extra exertion, spent this morning with the broom and the vacuum and all that.
Yes.
Because, you know, little shards of glass.
Shards of glass in the bathroom, the worst place because you're barefoot.
I've done the sweeping. I didn't do the vacuuming. I have to say that, but I'm dabbing. I'm dabbing right now. I don't think I'm Rob Ford. I think I accept responsibility for my own inability to do things. Perhaps I wasn't paying close. What?
A question, and this is just
special awareness. Special awareness.
And just as a disinterested observer.
Might be lacking now that I'm a little under the weather. I'm not going to completely say I'm not at fault.
It's suspect to me that you would drop it at the same time 2 days in a row. Can you give me a reason why that would happen? Is it slippery?
It's placement.
Well, we might have to have a really short vignette this morning, just because we'll talk about Entertainment Corner when we come back.
Okay.
Because I do have a short answer for you.
Okay, go ahead.
I've got it. F*** you.
It's the Mike O'Mara Show. You can listen to the Mike O'Mara Show at www.mikeomarashow.com.
Stay tuned for an outstanding entertainment program.
It's the Mike O'Mara Show.
Let's get down to business.
From the entertainment capital of the world.
Christmas has gotten out of control. But when I was a kid, I wanted to celebrate it. But I couldn't because I'm Jewish. But when you compare Christmas to Hanukkah, there's no comparison. Christmas is great. Hanukkah sucks. How do we celebrate Hanukkah? We celebrate it with candles, little tiny pissant candles. You Christians, on Christmas, Santa comes and he brings a ton of stuff. It's unbelievable. It's extraordinary. I go next door to see my best Christian pals. I'll never forget it. And the whole house is filled with boxes. It's like a warehouse. And out back, there's six ponies. Six! We were gonna buy Princess One, but we loved all of them. Merry Christmas. People believe that Hanukkah is celebrated for 8 days. And that's a liar, liar, pants on fire situation. Most Jewish families don't make it past the fourth day. It doesn't happen. Come on, aren't we gonna light the lights? No, enough's enough. First night, you get socks. Second night, an eraser, a notebook. It's a back-to-school holiday.
It's the Mike O'Mara Show. Mike O'Mara, Rob Spiewak, Oscar Santana. And now, from his easy chair, here's Mike.
We are live from the Fiverr Studios in Washington, D.C. The Mike O'Mara Show is on the air. The Mike O'Mara Show, a national podcast and radio show with an incredibly loyal following around the world. TMOS listeners get it, and if you're here, so do you. You can reach us at 888-920-MORE. That's 888-920-6673. Or MikeOMaraShow.com. Online, on air, on now. This is the Mike O'Mara Show, and tomorrow is Wide Open Wednesday, and I'm going to give you a 24-hour advance notice that our phone lines will be open at the beginning of the show, 888-920-MORE. That's 888-920-6673. And we will take as many as humanly possible. But the only thing that stops it,
yes,
when you stop calling, we stop taking them. Doesn't matter if there's a five-minute break, a 30-second break. Oscar gives me a little signal. He goes like this, and that means they're not coming in. And if they're not stacked on top, so if you get a busy signal or you do not get through originally, you just have to keep trying. Otherwise, our segment will end.
Do you preach sooner than both, it needs to end. You preach both vigilance and persistence.
Mike, I brought a new apparatus in studio, and this is for you, Ustream listeners, that when we have call, I will now shine a light in your face.
Oh, no.
When we don't have calls, I will turn the light off.
Did you really think about that? That is too goddamn
funny. Does that work?
That is too
We have calls, Mike, when I do this. But we don't have calls.
Move it in another so it's not directly at me. See if we can move it around anywhere. And
maybe train it up a little bit.
Right to Rob. Rob, we have calls.
The Love Boat soon will be making another run.
Rob, we don't have calls. I just turned the light off.
Face it towards the ground.
Towards the ground.
And just see what kind of light it does. Like right there.
Hey, we have calls.
That's good.
We don't have calls. All right. Yeah, boom, bam.
High tech, baby.
That's incredible.
Just like sailors used to do it.
Yes.
But with our pants on.
Thank you so much. I appreciate that. Our show today brought to you by Movement Watches, MVMT. Movement Watches can make all of your holiday gift-giving anxiety disappear. All these watches make the perfect gift for any guy or girl. And the best thing of all, they start at only $95. We love our Movement Watches. You'll love yours. Now let's finish your holiday shopping and get an MVT watch for someone on your list.
Beautiful.
Look at that beauty. Look at that.
Movement.
Look at that. Look at that movement. Ooh. Watch. You see that?
Love it.
MVMT. MVMT lets you skip the lines and the crowds at the mall. Instead, you give a gift they will love at prices you'll love. Remember, MVMT. Movement watches, they start at just $95. At a department store, $400 to $500 for those kind of watches. They are classic. Classic design, quality construction, styled minimalism. 500,000 watches sold in over 160 countries and always at the best possible price. Get 15% off today with free shipping and free returns by going to MVMTwatches.com/TMOS. This watch has a really clean design, and I've been getting compliments on it ever since I put it on. Now is the time to step up your watch game. Go to movementwatches.com/TMOS and join the movement. All right, we have a lot of entertainment news to discuss. We have retro entertainment news, we have entertainment scandal, and we have current movies to discuss.
Yes.
This is Rob, do we have any music for like entertainment corner
or I believe so,
Hollywood
yes.
corner mm-hmm. or something that we could do? Now I have Oscar, I know we there it is. Before the show. You know, I think we should just do the regular entertainment stuff that we have today.
This
That's
music.
Beautiful. I love that. Because I actually, later on in the show, we watched Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer in the O'Mara household
great,
last night.
The original, the film. What is it, Rankin and Bass special, the
Rankin
stop
and
motion?
Bass. Yeah. And I got a little fed up. I've been very aware of the listeners for years who have been very funny in their pointed criticism of what I believe is one of the most hateful Christmas specials in the history of
it
Christmas
has
specials.
A rotten message.
Yeah, and I want you to calm down because I did a lot of work for this, Rob, right. And I know you want to jump in on this, but let me show you. That's page one right there. That's page two right there of my incredibly analytical breakdown of Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer. We'll get to that later on in the show, and
excellent.
I also want to talk about Rob's Christmas gift, which I pursued with reckless abandon yesterday, and I'll tell you all about that. But before that, Oscar comes in right at the beginning of the show and says there is a controversy with Duck Dynasty that apparently things are a little hinky.
Well, yes. They're producers. Mike, you know, we've dealt with television producers in our life, especially you. But we've had dalliances on our end as well. And some of them can be good guys. Some of them can be bad guys, right? But the way that at least
I think most of them are bad guys.
I've seen in the past that producers make money is when they get a hit in their hands.
Sure.
Right?
Well, no, the bottom line is producers can make money under any circumstances. It's the talent that can only make money if it's a hit.
Yes.
That's really the only way
so
the talent
true,
can
so
make
true.
Any
like
money.
Agents, Mike. Like agents.
Yeah, well,
they
most...
They suck you dry regardless.
Well, yeah, they suck you dry. And the bottom line is if you have a hit show, you sell your soul to the devil.
Yes.
For your talent for maybe a period of a year or two where you're not going to get anything. The only way you're going to have leverage as talent, even if you get a hit show, is to actually have the hit show and then be so indispensable that you leverage your popularity for a larger contract.
I remember,
otherwise, it doesn't work any other way. Now, with Kevin Spacey and things like this,
yes.
and these shows that are already, you know, but still, it's established talent.
I'll give you an example.
The Stranger Things is an example. Those kids got paid, you know, guaranteed, I'm sure they didn't get paid a lot.
For reality shows, the first contract I ever even gandered at was for the regulars, the first regulars with Tana Cooley, right?
Right.
And I remember looking at that contract, I said, when do we get paid? And even at, I think, 31, I realized we weren't really getting paid, but they explained to you that you could make calendars and books and go on appearance tours. And I said,
total crap.
How many years is that going to be until we get paid, right?
Right.
Yeah, it really, all the people you see on reality television that are non-established stars are on and gone. And don't, you know, outside of
unless
residuals.
Unless you break
even
out.
Residuals, I don't think they do that
well,
anymore.
Well, it's usually.
Well, reality shows don't rerun.
Mike, it's a three-year deal from what I've seen. And then you get to Jersey Shore season four, and then everybody gets together and says, we want $100,000 an episode.
Everybody, but
right?
they had to do it collectively.
Yes, yes,
and
yes.
And then they got paid, and then they were gone anyway. Because they went, okay, we're done with these guys. Yeah, so it's crazy.
One of the biggest hits, and I know that you guys may or may not be fans. Actually, I don't know these days, but I know that in the past I've watched Duck Dynasty, and I said, "Well, that's a hit," but I really didn't know how big a hit it was.
Mm-hmm.
Because the producers, Gurney Productions, who were bought for $40 million by UK's ITV. So the production company that produces Duck Dynasty was bought for $ million.
And right?
It's a British company.
They were bought by
UK?
A British company.
ITV, I've heard of.
Yes.
I believe ITV actually produced the Muppets back in the day, which was produced in Great Britain.
I'll take that to my grave. All right. Mm-hmm.
Hope it's soon.
So my point being is that Gurney Productions, that produces Duck Dynasty, mm-hmm. has their production company and CEO has been put on leave because apparently those shady bastards, and I read this in the Hollywood Reporter, and then I see it on the front page of the entertainment page on Yahoo, right? And I'm sitting here and I'm like, that can't be that important. Go to Google, same thing.
Sure.
That's how you do it. I mean, you go down the line and you see,
is this actually important? And it's important to me because you already have people that have made their money.
Right.
And then you have ITV alleging now, and this is all alleged, that Gurney Productions, that's already getting paid for this, is charging ITV, their parent company. And it's kind of funny that the big company is now basically attacking the little company for saying, you're charging us too much for incidentals.
Okay.
So they're running up the bill on ITV. And I sit here and I'm looking at the CEO.
Let me get this straight. Yeah. So ITV buys Gurney Productions for the rights.
$40 million. They buy the
production
company.
Pays for the rights to
air. No, they buy the production company overall.
They buy the entire production company.
Yes.
But they're still using the people that worked for the production company as contractors because they're over there in the UK.
You got to work for us.
And so the production company, now that they have been bought, so all the profits from the show will go to ITV.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
However, the only way the production company, which, by the way, has already gotten their money, will make their money is to get salaries for producers and things like
that.
Yes. But you're saying they've got little upcharges that they're sneaking in there to screw the company that actually was good enough to make them all, like, ultra rich.
And they're large enough to really have made an impact as far as these charges are. And you're like, well what else do they...
Yeah, how do they do it?
Yeah, what else
does it give any specifics as far as what they're upcharging
for? Well, the thing is, I don't know enough about this business, but it's... And I'll give you an example first. If we're sitting here in the studio, right?
Mm-hmm.
And that's the only radio side I can... Because they don't go into details. They just know that this is like the biggest story in entertainment because ideally, if you're bought by a production company... There's an accounting run, and there actually are standards in place that say this costs this much, this costs this much, this costs this much, this costs this much. They have departments for this.
And you know that ITV looked at this before they bought the company. They said these are going to be the operating costs.
What fascinates me here is two things.
By the way, don't Google Duck Dynasty controversy because all you will get is that douche with the long beard going, I hate gays.
No. I guess the long and short of it is this. It's the talent.
I hate that controversy.
This has nothing to do with the talent. This all comes back to big scumbag entertainment business.
Dollars and cents, yeah.
Right? Think about this. The talent didn't get $40 million for their show. They just continued doing their show and selling the Duck Commander across the country. That's it.
Big Duck.
So
I just want to tell you. And he has that way of speaking, too, right? That kind of soft way, right?
Because
I'm a preacher man with the big duck collar and the big beard, taking my ducks out with a knife and a gun.
If you scratch deep under the icing on the Duck Dynasty cake, you find that much of this is a put-on. And if you go 10 years ago, they didn't have beards. They looked like they were in a J. Crew catalog.
Yeah.
The whole thing is just an act.
So this then takes you down a bunny trail to look at all of these reality shows on HGTV.
By the way, the Carl Hiaasen book, Razor Girl, kind of is a fictitious... creates a fictitious Duck Dynasty within that book.
And really?
It's all about how they work. And the central theme to that is that these guys were like, they're all these rednecks that run a rooster farm now, but they were actually accordion players from Wisconsin. So the whole thing is, and Oscar said this to me a million years ago, that all of this reality stuff is completely contrived.
We filmed the best pilot ever. The first regulars, when I expected nothing, and they spent the most money putting it together, right? Filmed it in reverse. And I sat there like a rube and said, but yesterday was today. How are we doing this? Not knowing that it's just like radio.
Yep.
That they just splice it together and make it look the way you want it to look.
Well, just don't change your clothes for continuity.
All I know is that Scott and Deirdre Gurney of Gurney Productions are on hiatus right now, pending an audit of the company's finances.
They're on the beach, Mike.
Mike, do you still take Variety?
I read Variety online.
Of course. Okay, good.
Variety stuff. It's truly It's definitely being, their finances are going to be scrutinized from top to bottom to see if they've been ripping off
ITV. Well, because it's already a hinky business, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
the overall making
of
production.
At the very best,
it's
just
nuts. So I sat there and
have they alleged any specific instances of how they did it? Was it big lunches?
This just broke last night.
Yeah, okay. It's too much in the lawyer's hands right now, so nobody's allowed to talk about it as far as what was happening.
I can't wait, but I also felt for the reality stars within their group, right? Because mm-hmm. they have a bunch of different shows that, again, you just never know enough about what's going on.
True.
By the way, last month A&E announced that Duck Dynasty, one of the biggest shows in cable TV history, would end after the current season.
You can only do it for so long.
Now, my question is this.
Kind of their last time for the old gurneys to tip the, to go to the trough. I think that's the way that's right. Am I right, Billy?
Probably. If it's on A&E, do you consider Duck Dynasty an art or an entertainment?
Well, if it's all a fake,
I know.
You know,
it's an entertainment.
It's entertainment.
Duck calls are works of art.
Well, Mike, and I don't even know what's going on in your corner of the world because I saw that. Then I was like, well, how much are the Real Housewives getting paid?
Yeah,
like what's
now,
really
the Real
happening
Housewives
there?
Housewives probably get paid bank. That's why they come back year in year. The new ones,
or
probably
do they
don't.
Not need the money and they just want the?
Well,
fame.
They pay Kim Richardson in meth. I know that.
Hey, thanks a lot. It'll be in my mailbox.
That was just one corner of entertainment corner. You mentioned you had a film that you've been wanting to see.
Oh, yes.
So before the show starts, I tell Oscar that I got the film Arrival that I'm really, really excited about going to see. And Oscar says, oh, man, that's getting just slaughtered on Rotten Tomatoes.
Oh, the bad reviews are amazing.
And the thing about it, I looked at Rotten Tomatoes as early as this morning, and because I was actually trying to find out when the movie was going to be airing around here. And so you got it mixed up with The Arrival.
The Arrival.
Now, what is The Arrival?
The Arrival is not the same film because Arrival is getting 93% on the Rotten Tomato meter. The Arrival is getting 63%, and The Arrival is a Charlie Sheen movie of all people.
Oh, yeah, he's very good.
Which is
The Arrival is a Charlie Sheen movie. Is The Arrival a current film?
No. It's old. It's 1996, Mike. 1996.
Okay. Arrival is really with what's her name?
Amy Adams, and I think Forrest Whitaker's in it.
It looks really amazing, and Oscar told me that Rab didn't like it, so
Drab.
I call him Darab.
Darab.
Rap name.
That's his Darab.
D-Rab.
D-Rab, you said, didn't like it.
What type of movies
does Drab like?
He usually likes everything that it has a solid rating, right? That's why I was shocked, and
no,
I was like,
"No, he likes movies that are well reviewed."
I was shocked when I looked at the tomato meter, and I was like, "Oh, well, how could Mike still be into this? Because you've been talking about this for 2 weeks. This thing's been out in theaters for 3 weeks, right?"
Does Drab like Duck Dynasty?
Oh, I don't know that. I don't know that for sure.
Mm-hmm. What is Drab? Tell me what Drab likes, and I'll tell you whether
marrying almost illegal young brides, and
right.
he also enjoys
we have that in common.
he also enjoys playing video games by himself as far away from his lovely wife.
He likes explosion movies, though, right?
He does. Action. I love Transformer movies. They make fun of me for liking Transformer movies.
He like comedies?
He likes comedies.
He does?
Yes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yes.
I wonder why he didn't like this, because this is getting
He likes European soccer, so he says.
This is actually getting amazing reviews, and I'm looking forward to seeing it.
When are you going to go? It's going to be on DVD soon.
Going to see it Friday night. We're going to be checking it out and looking forward to that. So we
It's probably tough
it
for you
Friday
to go
night.
To the movies and drag Carla, right?
No, Carla actually, if it's a good movie now, Carla is all in since we got the Foo Foo Theater down the street with the reclining chairs.
And the wine.
She loves that play. And the wine. She likes that. She's all about it. So we're going to go out and see that. It's going to be fantastic. And I think I'm really excited about it because I don't like sci-fi. And,
this is story heavy, though. This is very story heavy.
Story heavy sci-fi. Yeah, with enough of the, and if the CGI is credible, like it was in The Revenant, I'm really going to look forward to going to see it. I think it's going to be
what about Rogue One?
Rogue One. Oh, yeah.
That's
but
coming up.
You're
excited about that.
You're going to take
that's
a little
Star
Michael?
Wars, right?
You're going to take a little Michael?
Nah. Mm-hmm.
That's going to be the Star Wars of his era, though. That's the new arc. That's the new story arc starting for him as a
Mike,
kid.
Mike, don't leave him out like the potty
nope.
training.
Yeah.
No,
come on. Don't
do
make
it.
Him
no.
different.
No, not going to. Hey, the potty training is successful. Come on now.
He can't
Although,
go
I'll
to
honest,
school
we're trying
and not
to move
talk
him.
About Star Wars.
By the way, he pooped at school yesterday.
Yeah! Oh, big win!
Pooped at the potty at school. That's huge. That's a big deal.
The big one or the little guy?
he went on the. It's so funny when you go to his preschool and they have the little regular toilet, like a real toilet, but it's like mini version.
It's like like you would see it on the Hollywood tour at Universal Studios. This
so
is
cute.
The way we made the man look 10 feet tall.
It's so cute. It is so cute, and he's doing. And he's sick like the rest of the family. So I mean that sucks, but he's you know he's going now. It's like it's not a deal as much as it has been. He will you know I'll be in the middle of talking to him. And he goes just a minute. Dad, and he runs around the corner, and he said, and you hear tickle, 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 flush, and it's fantastic.
That's pretty
just
great.
A go minute, back and wash Dad. His hands. What's that?
Does he say just a minute, Dad?
He says, wait, Dad, wait,
oh,
Dad, and then he'll,
like,
he'll go
wow.
back around the corner. It's fantastic.
Most polite kid ever.
I mean,
that's awesome.
I mean, it arrived. We waited a long time, in my opinion,
the arrival.
Them. And then when the arrival came, now it's just kind of rapidly becoming the
awesome.
Regular deal.
Don't let him get too into it. You know what happens to those kids?
Well, I can't let him get too. I can't let him get too into it because he still likes his little throne.
Oh,
his
no.
little throne that's in the bathroom.
Mike.
And we're trying to get him to go to the regular commode because I am not going to be dumping poop like out of an outhouse every single day.
That's really bad duty. So
I had a friend that got really into this, and by really into it, I guess they were giving the young lady so much praise to go that she would just want to go all the time, right? As a kid.
Okay, she wasn't like 26.
No.
Okay,
no. And they have a little daughter, a little son, and they're both like the 3 and 5.
Mm.
So the 3-year-old's a daughter, and they came over one day, said, sorry, we're late. So-and-so is really into this. And I said, into what? And when you talk to a single couple about kids, we're fascinated because we don't know enough about this.
Yeah, it's like
yeah, you're not
unicorns.
There. You're not
yes.
You're not living it every day.
Fast forward, she's 5, and now she's still into it, but now she's like spreading it on the wall. And we said,
oh, no, really?
Hey, these stories.
Is she all right? I
yeah.
mean, that's kind of finger painting. Yeah. I mean, you kind of know it's not good stuff. I don't think.
Is she like into like Sumerian art of the old school?
I said, look, that tile really just regrout and you're A-okay. No problem.
Yeah, it looks like she's grouting a lot.
But.
By the way, I had that happen, but it wasn't because I was spreading it with my hands. It was just basic spackle factor.
Rough night.
Oh, no. It just caught me by surprise. Yesterday morning, Carla came out last evening and goes, you see what you did? And I'm like, I walked in there and I was like, oh, okay. And so next to the toilet, we have that little, those disposable wand things. You know
yes.
what I mean? Right? Those cleaners.
Yes.
And, you know, I mean, I really always thought like being out of toilet paper would be a tragedy. No, not having one of those little rings that you pop the thing. Hey, come here for a second, honey. Just for 1 second.
What rings?
It's like a handle with a disposable ring.
It's a handle
ring.
With a disposable ring that has soap
in it. I
didn't
know they had those.
And it's got a little, hey, hon.
Meanwhile, you're stuck looking at the St. Valentine's Day Massacre.
Say hi to the guys. Say hi to the guys.
Hey, Rob.
Hi, Carla.
Hey, Pony.
Hi.
How are you?
Come here.
Hey, Dan. That's Mike's young wife. Hot.
So when...
settle down, Dan.
When I spackled
She's 22.
Yesterday. Are we out of those little rings with the wand? Or did you even look? You know the rings that have the handle on them? You know, the toilet bowl cleaners?
Yeah.
I'm really sorry about that.
Hey, Dan, that's
his
daughter.
It looked like he went
finger
painting.
Okay, thank you.
Oh,
thank
boy.
You.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Hey,
anything going on?
When you're successful.
Are we going to
get
a cabinet for the turntable today? I can't wait to do that. Thank Mr. Spiewak.
Yeah, Rob, that is the
Dan,
best present ever.
Oh,
that
you're very.
Awesome.
I'm so happy to have you along for the ride.
I love it.
Cool.
Love.
Would you do
love,
something
love,
to return
love.
The favor? Would you please say hello to Dan O'Brien?
Who's that?
All right, well, get Dan on camera.
Stand up. Say hi to
Dan. Hi.
That's our new intern.
Oh, he's cute.
She plays it. Oh, that's a pro.
Yeah.
Don't have to teach you that.
Yeah.
You're born with that instinct.
I think Dan has something to clean up now.
Betty. You little nasty Betty. Look at that.
You'll pay for that later.
She knows how to do that.
Oh, he's cute.
Get out of here. God damn it. It's my life. I have to live anywhere we go. Can't even go to a goddamn convenience store without crap happening. What do you want, sir? Hi, ma'am. Anyway, we'll take a break. And we'll come back, and it is a systematic breakdown of what I believe is one of the most hateful Christmas stories known to mankind.
Cool.
It might surprise you. Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer. An analysis when we come back on the Mike O'Mara Show. To the rhythm of the music. Hi. You know, it's the most wonderful time of the year, but it's also one of the busiest. Luckily, one of the most important holiday traditions doesn't take much time at all. We would like you to subscribe, renew, or give the TMOS bonus package. Each week, we record a sixth episode of the show. It's uncensored, commercial-free, and it can be yours if you subscribe to the TMOS bonus package. And boys, I know you're excited because this year, there's something special coming if you order the bonus package. Am I right, Rob Spiewak? Am I right?
Me.
That's right. You'll receive the soon-to-be classic holiday album, Have an Oh Merry Christmas. Did you come up with that name, Oscar? I'm just curious.
I did, but more importantly, Mike, help keep TMOS a no-kill shelter.
Thank you. All of your favorite holiday songs sung by all your TMOS buddies.
Gotta gas some of these guys.
Wait to get it.
How do you get it, Mike?
You buy the TMOS bonus package.
That's
it's
right.
All waiting for you at MikeOMaraShow.com. Look for the banner marked TMOS bonus package, and you'll get the holiday album. Here's a clip now.
Sleigh bells ring.
Who was that?
Adrian.
Whoa, oh nice work.
Adrian is a great counterbalance to the session we had with Mac.
That's awesome. I love that. Welcome back to the Mike O'Mara Show, brought to you by Hint Water. Everyone knows you should drink 8 glasses of water a day, but who really does it? Nobody, because water is boring. That's why you should try Hint Water, because Hint Water is delicious. It was started by this brilliant lady named Kara Golden, and a few years ago, after she had her fourth child, she was overweight, she had horrible acne, she felt awful. She was drinking 10 diet sodas a day. 10! Almost a case of diet soda a day instead of water because water is boring. She didn't like it. That's why she started Hint Water. Hint is pure water infused with the taste of fresh fruit, and it's good for you. Hint is never boring. They have flavors for everyone. Watermelon, peach, mango, grapefruit, many more. No sugar, no chemicals, just great tasting, all natural, fruit-flavored water. Both Health and Self magazines named Hint Water as the best flavored water. Plus, you don't have to lug heavy cases of water back from the store. You can have Hint delivered right to your doorstep. Right now, get a single variety pack shipped directly to your door, including 3 bottles each of Hint's 4 most popular flavors, pineapple, watermelon, crisp apple, and blackberry, normally $24 for only $15 at drinkhint.com/TMOS. That's drinkhint.com/TMOS. Be like everybody on the show. Drinkhint.com/TMOS. We love our Hint water. I love the blackberry.
So
it's
good.
So delicious. Welcome back to the Mike O'Mara Show. Happy holidays. The little guy is into watching different Christmas programs, and we watch them as a family. Yesterday afternoon, I was feeling very nostalgic. Rob got me this wonderful turntable. I went out to get the cheapest way to amplify it, and figured out that as opposed to going to a big box store where they're going to tell you one thing. And by the way, Oscar, I did it because I wanted it immediately. That's
oh, Mike, I'm not. I'm never going to tell you what to do. You're Mike O'Mara.
But also, this is why I will be returning what I got and getting what I want on Amazon. I have to tell you the truth.
Good.
Because Amazon has a better deal.
Better prices.
Better prices.
And they bring it to your house.
And, you know, while we're talking Amazon, I should say this. The exact turntable that I bought, Mike, is on sale this week, $50 off.
And at Amazon?
At Amazon. So if you want to double up, shoot me a note on Facebook.
Yes.
I'll tell you the model number.
Use our link.
Use our link and get it. It's amazing.
Send him a
great deal.
So I roll in because I wanted to get it right then and there. And I was told by the guys, get a little amp and you can use that. But no, the bottom line, all you really need are powered speakers.
True enough.
And powered speakers are speakers that are studio monitors. So after dealing with the third dullard, at the blue shirt store that said, you know what it's like when you roll in and go, a buddy of mine got me a turntable, by the way, which they sell at the blue shirt store. And
yeah, but those are the all-in-one, like, new guys. They're not selling you the turntable that Rob sent to you.
But the turntable was there on the rack. Rob got me an interactive turntable that actually has connectivity with HDMI if I want to burn records onto a computer disc. Or any kind of digital platform, I can do it that way. But I don't have any interest in doing that. I want to use a turntable in an analog way, the way we used to. That's the whole point of having
it. Yeah.
So I look at this guy and I said, I'm looking for some powered speakers. And the guy, you get this, power? What? Yeah.
It's like, don't you want Sonos?
Yeah, powered. Yeah, exactly. Don't you want
Can't you
Bluetooth,
come sit in
Sonos?
The leather couch and listen to these?
Exactly. Yeah. You butt. You know, and
you
so
butt.
I was out of there. I was out of there. And by the way, went down to my guy down at Guitar Center who has helped me through a lot of issues with, you know, with studio equipment from the time, actually from the inception of the podcast. I'm going to give credit where credit is due. They actually have been extremely helpful over the years for different kinds of audio issues that we've had.
Every city we've been in.
Great return policy as well.
It seems
Shut up, Oscar.
Great return policy.
Sorry, Vegas.
Why did he say that?
Because when we travel anywhere, we don't take things with us. We rent them from Guitar
Center.
Okay, stop
it. Thank you. Anyway, moving right along. So I was in the holiday spirit, got the powered speakers, and they sounded great, and it was a...
May I ask the brand of powered speakers?
Yeah, what'd you get?
I don't even know.
Denon?
M Audio. I think it's M Audio.
Okay. Oh, it's owned by...
You spent some real dollars.
It's Maudio.
Mike, you don't need M Audio speakers for that dumb record player, you jerk.
It's not a dumb record player.
I know how much
it's
those
a smart record
this
player.
This is why the fleecing of America
Write
continues.
Write down what you think I spent for
continues.
The speaker. What do you think I spent for the speaker?
Too much. Too much.
He's writing it down.
This is if you got them rock, if they were giving them away. This is my lowest bid on The Price is Right.
Okay, great. Hold it up for him, Pony.
Hold it
please.
Up to the screen. Yeah, let me see. I think we do this like by not putting it on the that takes half
of that.
Yes,
half. No, that's not bad.
Okay, but no, but they're not. I'm going to take them back because they're not. They don't have enough juice. They're 3 inches, and so I got small ones. I got teeny tiny little speakers.
Oh,
so that's all I got. They were the cheapest ones in there.
It's a great way to start and see what you need. You need more. Yeah.
It was nice to be able to use it and immediately plug it in. And you know,
you had to buy records to do it, right?
Yeah, bought a couple of records. I got the Charlie Brown Christmas record.
So great, Vince Guaraldi.
We played it, and we were totally in the mood for Christmas. And then it was on to before the little guy. I went down last night. I said, let's watch Rudolph. We got a DVR and we'll watch Rudolph with a little man. And it was so special. And, you know, he came out and he's tracking with it a little bit because it's Santa.
Yes.
Loses interest after a little while. But all in all, what a great evening to watch. But it made me realize how many times I have read threads over the years or comments over the years that are hysterically funny about Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer. The very last one that I read, and I'm sorry I can't give anybody credit for it because I didn't memorize who wrote it or attribute the person who wrote this, but somebody said in Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer, Santa is a bit of an a-hole.
Oh, yeah.
And they're absolutely right. And I decided, you know, there are a lot of issues that I have with the meanness factor of Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer, and I thought I would go through them point by point.
Okay, cool.
Oh, that's great.
You know, you're dealing with Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer, and Rob, you had the producer credit. What's the name of the company?
Rankin and Bass. This was their first big stop-motion hit, and I believe it was 1964, so it's 52 years old now.
And was it one of the first times where celebrities were used to voice?
Yeah, I think it might have been the
one
first
celebrity, Burl Ives, really.
It might have been the first time because it was the template for all the specials to come.
All right, now the first thing that you get in this is you get Burl Ives, the talking snowman. It comes out, welcomes you, and then shows you Santa's mansion.
He sets
right
you
there,
up. Sets you
yeah,
up.
Yeah, right, he shows you Santa's mansion. Okay, so we're already establishing the fact that Santa, it's not a workshop. He said it's Santa's mansion.
Lives in Naples.
You know? So he's showing Santa's mansion. It's the first mansion
Great
on
Falls.
The left is how he talks about it. And you know, and right there, I got a problem with that.
Sure.
Okay, that's a message you don't need to be.
Okay.
Now, workshop, yes. Mansion, no. Okay?
Right.
Now, you might call me, Mike, you're being a Democratic
Potomac.
Socialist, but I have to tell you that I'm saying this because I don't approve of the fact that Santa, you know, what, do the elves live outside like sled dogs? Is that why Santa, you know what? Or is this an all-encompassing facility?
Right.
There's never any clarity on that, and it gives me kind of a bad
taste. They only have 48 minutes, Mike. They have to be a little vague.
During that era, though, a mansion was a mansion, right? In the 50s, if someone had a mansion, they had a cartoon-sized house.
Yeah, but it doesn't matter. It's still, I think you're making Santa not a common elf. And, you know, that's really,
you want him to be an elf of the people.
I want them all to live in the same place, and if they if
like
he lives at the workshop,
they all
like,
have
I
mushroom
want,
huts.
I want a communist. Yeah. I want a commie. I want a commie Santa. Yeah. I want Santa to live in a room with Mrs. Claus right off the workshop, and the elves live in like the dorm, and they all but they don't get a
like
little
Stalin.
Clarity. Yeah, let's get right to Rudolph,
please.
Let's get right to Rudolph's red nose. All right, immediately when they discover that this poor animal has a deformity, which is a red nose.
Yes.
He's different, Mike.
He's practically disowned by his own family. His father, and I'm trying, what is his father Dasher? Or
I think it's Donner, isn't it?
I'll get
is
you an
Donner?
Answer.
Well, you know what? Find out, because his dad is an a-hole.
Yeah, oh,
and
I agree.
His dad immediately practically disowns him. He is shunned by his peers, and then you get Comet, who is the uber a-hole of the entire show, is the reindeer coach.
Yes.
I believe it's Comet, right? I'm Comet. Kids, yeah. I'm Comet.
Poor man's Don Adams.
Meh, meh. Look at your nose, Rudolph. You're not going to play. And the coach, is it, who's Rudolph's
okay,
father?
So it says here that in the movie, he's the brother of Dasher, Comet, and Cupid. And the husband of Mitzi, the father of Rudolph.
All right, now you're confusing it. I'm sorry. I just need to know Rudolph's father, okay? I mean,
sorry.
It's not a short tree. I mean, so Comet is the coach of the reindeer. And,
right.
And the level of cruelty.
His father was Donner.
Donner. Okay, so Donner's his dad. Well, Donner's a dick, too, because Donner actually, you know, doesn't want to, you know, he doesn't want to own him. And the first thing he's doing, he's trying to cover up Rudolph's poor little nose with, like, clay, mud.
I always thought it was feces.
It could be. The way they treated him, it might as well be. All right, so we've got the Rudolph plot established, where Rudolph is ostracized.
Yes.
Donner's horrible. Comet's even worse, the coach. Gather around, I'm going to do it. God, I'd like to see. I swear to God, I'd like to see a really high-powered bow go right through Comet. I would. I'd like to see that. That's the way I look at it. Now, the elf in charge inside the mansion, which I guess they want to call a workshop, too. The elf in charge, another sadomasochist.
Yes.
Who is just abusive to the elves and just horrible.
Taskmaster.
Imagine the worst drill sergeant you will ever get. And then we've got the, the oddball, who really, I think, Herbie. Probably. Is it Herbie or Hermie?
You know what? I have read that within the special, it goes back and forth, and they use both. Because
well,
they were
another
such,
flaw.
Well, they there's were such a hurry flaw. To get this on the air. To get Big Christmas, Mike, is all
yes.
about money.
Yeah, so Herbie or Hermie, but we'll call him Herbie for the point of argument. He deals with this sadistic elf, and all Herbie wants to do is become a dentist. And I think we can be honest that Herbie has a few other things that make him different from the other elves. Maybe some lifestyle choices, but I'm not sure.
He's a very sensitive elf, Mike. He cares about others.
Yeah, but this
feelings.
There's no need for this elf in charge to be nasty. We move on to Santa. Early on in Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer, you have the elves put on a concert for Santa, singing
yes.
what I consider to be one of the great tunes of all time. We are Santa's elves.
Yes.
We are Santa's elves and the little claymation.
Filling Santa's shelves. Yeah.
Da, 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 da.
We are Santa's elves.
And this is the first indication that we have that Santa, in his mansion, is bipolar. Well, he's not a pleasant man. He's not even close to a pleasant person.
You know what? You could rename the special the Bipolar Express.
Yes, bipolar, get it? Well, he hates the elf song, and then he like has a tantrum, and he walks out. It needs work. And then he gets out of his little throne, the dick, and he goes back into his room, probably where he's drinking. I don't know what he's doing.
That sounds like a few days here on the Mike O'Mara Show.
You know, easy, you.
But the Santa thing, he's nasty like that. Then later on, when he apologizes.
He's like happy. You love him.
And then he apologizes to Rudolph when the family's gone off looking for him. Yeah, bipolar. Santa, what's it going to be? You're going to be a nasty or you're going to be a decent human being?
Are you mad or happy?
I'll move on to this. We have Yukon Cornelius after Rudolph tags teams with Herbie, and they go off into the snow because everybody hates them back at the
they run
mansion.
Away. They run away.
At the celebrity mansion, everybody doesn't like them. They run away. Obviously, Yukon Cornelius, the first person of any significance they bump into, is totally unstable.
Yes.
He throws a pick into the air. It lands in the snow, and then he licks it to try to indicate whether it's gold or silver. I mean, that means he's out of his mind.
It's
he can't
the Marcus
find out
whether
Serto
of our time.
He's sort of OCD, isn't he? I mean, he has all these weird routines.
You can't identify a mineral that way. And your most eccentric, coal gold miner would tell you you can't do it that way.
And really, don't you get the impression that Herbie is young? He's a young elf.
Very young.
And
very
Rudolph young. Is a baby. I mean, really, you're leaving these two youngsters in the care of this criminally insane man.
This loud, obnoxious, irresponsible man, and he almost gets them killed.
He could turn at any moment. He could turn at any moment, and there's corpses everywhere.
Right. But now the only thing, if you want to talk about Herbie, the whole dentist thing is, it's a little, there's a lot of self-absorption in Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer. Santa, it's all about, I got to get the sleigh up. And Herbie, it's like, I want to be a dentist. I want to do this all the time. Yeah. You got the, nobody wants a Charlie in the box. So they're doing this whole thing. And Yukon Cornelius, who is just bat-ass crazy. I mean, even now you get into the whole acid part of it where you might as well drop acid to wash it. You go to the land of the misfit toys.
Oh, yeah.
Where the king is
King Moonracer, Mike.
Yeah, King Flying Lion.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yes, that's him.
Is his name King Moonracer?
King Moonracer, yes.
Now, feel free to jump in, Rob. I mean, I understand you're chomping at the bit here. The King Moonracer doesn't make sense to me.
Well,
I don't understand.
Well, if that's the one thing you have trouble with in the whole story.
Charlie in the Box is another sadistic character who's sad for himself, but he's taking it out on everybody else. Who goes there?
And you know what else is very weird, and it speaks to the mindset of the authors of this extended version of the story,
right?
Is that if you do research, the rag doll, the little doll that's in the Land of Misfit Toys?
Yeah,
the
beautiful, sweet little girl.
Do you know why she's a misfit?
Why is she a misfit?
According to research, she has emotional issues. I swear that's true. I swear that's true.
And the elephant ruler, is a polka dot elephant. Yes.
King Moonracer is the ruler of the Island of Misfit Toys.
Yeah, well, but I don't think he's a misfit himself. But what he is a man who has found people that are essentially down on their luck emotionally, and he's dominating them.
He's taking advantage of them. I am your king.
Yeah. So Charlie in the Box, go guard the door.
Charlie in the Box is mean. Herbie, moving right along, Herbie neuters the abominable snowman by extracting all of his teeth. That is animal abuse, if I've ever seen. I mean, you're basically
taking...
And it's
symbolism, because those teeth aren't teeth.
Right.
They're testicles.
What?
He's neutering him. He's figuratively neutering him.
But the fact is, when the animal has all its teeth, the abominable snowman is really not as abominable as he's meant to be.
As a kid, though, scared me.
Yeah.
When I would see him, it would scare me as a kid. I'd say, whoa.
Oh, and also, if we can circle back 1 second to a Yukon Cornelius.
And then Burl Ives comes in after Psycho Cornelius pushes him off the cliff without his teeth. Burl Ives comes back and says, they are all sad for the loss of their friend. Yeah, you think? Now that you've traumatized the children, Burl? You think you're okay with that? Yes, Rob.
But if you think back, why does he call him a bumble? That is not effective either. That's diminishing him. That shows a lack of concern for your fellow.
Well, he's going to come back later in the story, but Rudolph returns to the land of bigots, only to be shunned again. Then bipolar Santa tells him his parents are gone. That's like the moment where Santa's having like a moment of clarity.
Right.
I'm sorry. I'm sorry I created this whole crappy situation for your life because you happen to have a nose that doesn't look like the other noses. And we get the symbolism there.
Does Santa have a little bit of joy of telling Rudolph that his parents are gone and it's his fault?
No, I don't think so. That's a moment where the just bipolar checking. Kicks in and he's just trying to be a nice guy. Yeah. And then we have the storm of the century. And of course, it's all about Santa.
Snowmageddon.
Yeah. It's all about Santa again. When Santa makes his pity stop to the Island of Misfit Toys, there's no greeting. Once Santa determines that because Rudolph Schnoz is bright enough to go through the fog,
Schnoz.
And that's the only time that Rudolph becomes any significant creature to fat, bipolar, self-absorption Santa, that's the only moment where, I notice you've got a light that is on the end of your nose, and that's it. Then they take off and go, by the way, we'll do a stop at the Land of Misfit Toys. Santa's doing them a favor. They don't even get a greeting. They stop on the Island of Misfit Toys. They land. They're there like less than half a second, and the toys are just expected to jump into the Santa's sack.
Yeah.
And I think that's
not right. I think Santa's got an arrangement with King Moonracer.
Right.
Maybe in advance.
Here's the ultimate slight. This comes at the very end of the story.
Classic tradecraft.
Yeah. He doesn't even take the toys, the misfits, down the chimney. You know what he does? He hands them umbrellas so they can parachute randomly into the town, and you don't even see where they land. They're never enjoyed by children. It's just like, out of here. And they're probably plunging to their death.
Of course.
That's just my opinion.
And we all know that's not how it works. Santa comes down the chimney.
This is a deep dive into this.
He hands the polka dotted elephant the umbrella and just lets him parachute randomly.
Good luck.
Out over, you know, for all I know, he's over the ocean.
Yeah,
it could happen. You think they ran out of money at that point? Because it would have been cool to see them going down
time
the
issue.
Chimney. Yeah.
It's a time
there's
issue.
Only, there is only one sympathetic character in the entire story. Only one.
Who?
And that, of course, is Clarice.
Ah,
Clarice, the sweet girl.
Clarice, who falls in love with Rudolph without even when he's ostracized from the group, and she never, her love is
she
undying.
She still loved him.
Mm-hmm. She never asks for anything, and she is there by his side. And the last part of this is Burl Ives kind of a dick.
Oh,
I think we can all 100%. Establish that.
Yeah, Snowman known Sam.
Known to be kind of, you know, really in real life, and including when our old producer, Frank Murphy, asked him to hum a few bars of Holly Jolly Christmas, and he said he wouldn't.
Yeah, he's prickly. Yeah. Very prickly.
He said but, no.
No, he said, oh, by the way, mister, can we get you to hum a few bars of Holly Jolly Christmas? He said, nope.
On air?
Yep.
What a dick.
There Mike, it is, my point. Thank you.
That is key insight into that movie.
Yes.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
And also, really, if anyone has driven with their headlights in the snow,
right.
That nose didn't do dick.
Oh, absolutely not. Would have killed them all.
Yeah.
Yeah. You're being really.
Yeah. If you really want to get down to brass tacks.
Yeah. Just angry, bitter, between the lines. You know, look at it. Nothing sweet about it. Frankly, Frosty's got a lot of hate in it, too. All the Christmas stories do. We'll take a break and come back with more fun and more thrills. This is the Mike O'Meara Show.
The TMOS Elite Whiskey Society presents Questions for a Whiskey Drinker.
Here's a letter from Diana from Valley Forge. She writes, which is better, Irish, Canadian, or American whiskey? Well, Diana, obviously the alcoholic heritage of the Irish is solid. You can't trust Canadians because they're just waiting to invade. If you're a true patriot, you have to go all American.
Check out the TMOS Elite Whiskey Society on Facebook or in bars where fine whiskeys are sold.
Welcome back to the Mike O'Meara Show, brought to you by Tipsy Elves. Tis the season for all the things that only seem to make sense at holiday time. I am so happy that I got my Tipsy Elves sweater. It's just up. My Tipsy Elves sweater is so wonderful. I'm just trying to figure out where I'm going to wear it, where I'm going to make its debut, where I'm going to walk into a living room and have everybody go, oh.
It'd be great at a Boston Pops concert.
No, I'm not going to do that.
Do it for us. Do it for your family.
Not going to have the fornicating. No. Everybody needs an ugly Christmas sweater, and if you want supreme bragging rights for the most talked about sweater at the Christmas party, listen up. Yeah, you know what? An office Christmas party. That's where this
perfect.
Would be perfect.
Perfect.
Especially if you're planning on quitting.
Yes.
You know, and you want to walk in there and just kind of go, hey.
I'll wear mine this Saturday.
Oh, cool. Okay. Yeah.
Oh, that's right. We've got the TMOS Christmas party coming up Saturday. All you need is tipsyelves.com. Tipsy Elves Christmas sweaters are like nothing you've ever seen before. Check out the new 2016 sweaters. You won't find them anywhere else. They're not for the faint of heart. Tipsy Elves sweaters are all about fun, but are serious on quality construction. They're beautifully made.
They are.
And go to tipsyelves.com right now. They will give you 20% off at tipsyelves.com if you use our TMOS code. Everything on the site. Shop now for the best selection so you have it in time for your ugly sweater Christmas party. Go to tipsyelves.com, enter the code TMOS at checkout to get your 20% site-wide discount. That's tipsyelves.com and the code TMOS. And speaking of the holidays, everybody, time for another fruitcake giveaway. We are 3 for 3. Pretty amazing. We haven't had to roll over
one
fruitcake.
Don't get happy, but remember, it is a progressive jackpot.
We still had a winner. What?
It's a progressive jackpot. So even if there is no winner today, tomorrow's winner wins too.
Gotta always be prepared.
That's right.
Let's get to the letter. Now, yesterday, you know that because the letter was sent in for another person, I thought we might not have a winner. The guy was home, sitting in his chair with a broken hip, and he enjoyed his... somebody said he sounded like Wilford Brimley. You won't get any older, and you won't ever die.
He also didn't like the Elves Christmas song. Needs work.
Yeah, thank you. Dear Rob, I have wanted to email you about fruitcakes for a couple of years, but I never had a really compelling reason. This year, I don't know if the reason is compelling or not, but I need another way to get alcohol into my system because I am hosting the whole family at my house for Christmas. And I have to tell you, as a connoisseur of Rob's fruitcake, yes, they are booze-laden, but the booze is really not even a factor. It's really the flavor, and it's not going to get you a buzz. But you will have to carry your flask around, and that'll fly. And Natalie, if you want to do that.
Anyway, I like the notion, though.
Yeah. She says, I don't think carrying a flask around will fly with some of the older members of the family, but eating a festive fruitcake would be acceptable. Natalie, if you're going for a buzz with Rob's fruitcake, it's not going to work. But we're going to send you one nonetheless because we liked your letter. Merry Christmas to you all. That's Natalie. Let's give Natalie a call right now and find out indeed if she is home.
Oscar, you need to put the light on for this call.
That's terrible. Turn that off, please.
I swear I can't see in here.
Might have to face that in the other direction. Let's see if we're 4 for 4 on fruitcakes.
Don't let us down, Natalie.
I have a feeling, Rob. What do you think?
I like our chances.
Hello?
Oh.
Natalie, is this Natalie?
Yes, it is.
Natalie, this is Mike O'Mara from the Mike O'Mara Show.
My
how
goodness.
Are you? How are you
I'm
on this fine morning? Nice to hear your voice, Natalie. And Natalie, I don't even know where I'm calling. Where are you living in this fine United States?
I live in Troy, Alabama.
Troy, Alabama.
Nice.
That is fantastic.
Troy,
well, Natalie,
Alabama.
We received. That's a Forrest Gump, Alabama.
It is. I think she belongs in Greenville, Alabama.
Very close to Greenville, Alabama.
Oh, that's great. We got your wonderful little letter, and Natalie, I'm here to tell you. 4 for 4, you
yeah!
are going to receive a Rob Spiewak
fruitcake. Oh, my goodness. I can taste it already.
Yeah, you get that little Alabama accent you got going there. How many family members are coming over for Christmas, Natalie?
My mom, stepdad, sister, her boyfriend, my brother, his husband, and their dogs.
Oh, their dogs.
Oh,
all right.
I got eight.
Eight
people. Well, you know,
eight people and dogs.
When I read your letter, Natalie, I will tell you that I'm not sure whether the fruitcake is going to give you a buzz, but I will tell you it is delicious. If you've never had one, you are in for a major treat. They're fantastic, and the whole state of Alabama will be jealous of you. I'm sure about that.
They definitely will. I know that.
Congratulations, Natalie. There's a fruitcake on your way, my dear.
Thank you so much.
Merry
Appreciate
Christmas.
It. Thank you.
Merry Christmas to you all.
Thank you.
Bye. Cool.
Thank you.
Yes, 4 for 4.
I love it.
Oh. Alabama.
Alabama.
And we have really been spreading geographically,
Mike.
Spreading the fruitcakes around,
mm-hmm.
haven't we?
Love it. And we don't even mean to do it on purpose. You don't even see the phone number till it gets here.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right?
Good stuff.
Alabama.
That's nice.
That's it. All right, so we have to do a short break. I'm sorry.
We do.
We have to take a break. I can't come back and do. What am I doing? I've got a cold. Just go to break.
Okay? You want to break here?
Well, no. I mean, I'm at the right.
Yeah. Schedule wise.
I got to do one break.
How
and
much
news
time
you may
do we have?
Need.
He's asking.
Yeah, we have. We should go.
Don't ask for any help. You're not going to get it on this show.
No,
I swear to God. Wake up.
We've got about 4 minutes that we can do here, and then we go to commercial.
We got time. Then say we
just say we have.
We have time.
Yes.
All right. Sick house day five. All right. Do I have to make it any clearer?
I understand.
On my deathbed here.
I feel your pain, Mike.
Thank you.
Oh, if you buy that BS, you are sick.
By the way, a compliment for Mr. Rob Spiewak. Okay. Because really, the truth is, and I said this, Carla and I and my little guy, I had a moment of nostalgia. My old man used to bring me home records from work, and we would listen to them on the record player. And the nostalgia of taking that stylus and putting it down on a real record. This is the truest story of the world. I taught Carla how to use it today. She says, how does it work?
Oh, my God. She's right in that spot where
Carla is in that spot
mm-hmm.
where they didn't exist. Record players did not exist.
I'm guessing she probably came up. She probably had a lot of cassettes.
I don't know what she had when she was growing up. She was born in 1985.
Pony and I are wondering subconsciously what else you've taught Carla in the past.
Yeah, VHS.
It was, she has never, ever used, handled a vinyl album in her lifetime.
That's so funny.
She has never touched one.
She was born 1980?
She's born 1980, yeah.
So that means
21
that,
years younger than
I got my first CD player, pardon me, 1985. And
oh,
so,
that's early.
Yeah, I got one early. So
got one or procured one?
No, got one. Paid okay. one. It was actually, it was a scratch and dent JVC. I remember very well. But so, yeah, she came up in the era when records weren't a thing. They were phased out by the time she would be musically aware. So she probably did some cassettes and then compact discs.
Well, wow. I texted Rob last night. It was truly spectacular.
Made me feel so good.
I put
What does she think about the process?
It's kind of a curiosity, just like it is for my little guy. You know, you're looking at it. You know, she knows about vinyl and stuff. Yeah. She's just never used a turntable in her life, as probably the overwhelming majority of people her age have never used a turntable.
And without getting too into it, it's very tactile and very visual, because a CD player or even an MP3, you just hit a button and it happens. It all happens inside the machine.
Yes.
But here you're actually seeing the tone arm go down, make contact, spin, and move across the
platter. It's a different sound. It's a more mellow sound.
Yeah.
It really is. It's very, very cool. It was fun to use, and I look forward to going to like flea markets and getting old vinyl and stuff like that. And it's gonna be
bed bugs, Mike. Bed bugs.
Crazy bed bugs.
But I felt great about Rob up until reading his joke about Advent calendar.
It was the first thought I had when I woke up this morning. I had to.
Why do you
it.
Do that? Just out of curiosity. It's not funny. It's not amusing.
Well,
tell Oscar the joke.
I don't know the joke.
It is not amusing.
You can't make Christmas spaghetti without an Advent calendar.
Oh.
So you know a colander is like a strainer?
Oh, I know. Yeah. I got it. It's just
Tab
not,
Patterson
it's,
like sent back a nice little like Advent calendar.
But Mike, it was you have so to understand this. When I woke up
so
this
depressing.
Morning at a little after 5.
When you woke up this morning, would you sit on the end of your bed and go, how can I be unfunny today?
As I do every day, Mike. it was a subconscious. It came to me as if in a dream, and I had to get it out somehow.
Do you have an Advent calendar?
I don't.
Oh.
I don't. I don't know why I thought of it.
You know, the only Advent calendar I think is Bad Santa.
Where that's all the only one I think. Thornton. Yeah, when he tapes it all back together. He says, here, kid.
His little liquor bottles.
Just but like yesterday, I woke up and I had to have ginger ale. I don't know. My dreams are very powerful.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Do you dream more during the holidays?
No, pretty consistent. But it's weird. I'll wake up and I'll remember saying, I had to text Pony yesterday. I said, please get me some ginger ale. Please. I need it. Because I dreamt about ginger ale. I don't know
why. Do you have any recurring nightmares?
Just this show.
Thank you.
Waking life.
Well, thanks so much. We appreciate that. Appreciate the turntable, the Audio Technica. It's fantastic.
Does it make up for 10 years of bad Christmas gifts?
Yeah.
Does it really?
100%.
Are we at an even playing field now?
Yeah, because I got you T-shirts this year.
Oh, but I love T-shirts. Yeah.
T-shirts?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. He wore one yesterday.
More band T-shirts?
Yeah.
The Boston T-shirt is awesome.
Wear a man what he likes to wear. Give a man what he likes
more
to wear.
More of his uniform.
We'll take a break. Come back. News you may not need. Coming up next on the Mike Gomera Show.
Hey, everyone. Intern Dotson here. You know, the one whose microphone is never turned on. You know what tomorrow is? It's Wide Open Wednesday. Starting at 9 a.m., the Mike O'Mara Show takes your phone call. Want to be a small part of TMOS? Do you have a great story for the boys? Make sure to dial 888-920-MORE for your chance to talk to Mike, Rob, Oscar, and even Pony. Wide Open Wednesday, starting at 9 a.m. That's 888-920-6673. And make it count.
Welcome back to the Mike O'Mara Show, brought to you by Stamps.com. Holidays officially here, effective immediately. You don't have time to go to the post office. The traffic, the parking. A lot of people are going to be saving some time if they go to Stamps.com. The better way to buy postage. Stamps.com lets you avoid all the hassles of going to the post office during the busy holiday season. And you can do it all year round. Just stay at your desk. Use your own computer and your own printer. You can buy and print official U.S. postage for any letter or package. Then the mailman will pick it up easy. It's convenient. We have used Stamps.com for years, and we adore it. Let me tell you, during this time of year,
yes,
if you ever were thinking about trying Stamps.com, this is when you want to do it, because you avoid that cluster you-know-what at the post office. Right now, you can use our code TMOS for a special 4-week trial, plus a $110 bonus offer that includes postage and a digital scale. Don't wait. Get started with Stamps.com today. Within minutes, you'll be printing postage from your own desk. Go to Stamps.com, and before you do anything else, click on the microphone at the top of the homepage and type in TMOS. That's Stamps.com and TMOS. You will never have to go to the post office again.
News.
News.
Your grandchildren may live in a world where there are no lines at the grocery store. And no, it's not because all those terrible self-checkout machines are somehow going to get miraculously better. Amazon just created a convenience store that works differently than any other store ever. When you walk in, you scan your phone. Then when you pick up the items off the shelves, they are automatically added to your bill, which you can check on an app. When you're done shopping, you just leave. And you're automatically charged for everything you bought. There's no checking out. You just walk out. So how do they know what you're taking off the shelves and putting in your bag? Amazon says it's a combination of, quote, computer vision, sensor fusion, and deep learning. This is kind of cool.
For someone who is so diametrically opposed to self-checkout, I love this.
This is cool.
And this goes against every principle we've talked about, as you mentioned, that the idea that you have to stop talking to people when you leave. The checkout, when you have self-checkout, is just a cluster because the machines aren't perfect.
Right.
But walking
it's a drag. It's a drag.
Just walk out.
You know what? Paid. Charge me.
Yep.
The ramifications for this are... better for the economy, yeah. I think.
Yes.
I mean, it's going to be
people stop stealing stuff.
Yep. And that's going to be, I bet they'll have security sensors in this
place. Did I tell you what I ran into at IKEA the other day?
What?
I didn't even tell you. Okay, I walked...
Evil Allen wrenches?
Yeah, no, I walked into IKEA, and at downstairs, God bless them, it's an equal opportunity, and they're hiring everybody. But there is this kid that looks like he is on My So-Called Life, right? and he is directing people left and right, telling people what to do, because he's a two-story guy, and you got to go upstairs to go through the maze to get through, right?
Yep.
I'm in the College Park one, for those of you here in the area.
Right.
And I hear the elevator open, and this couple gets out. And they have their cart stacked with stuff.
Sure.
And the kid, who probably everyone was like, this kid may be missing a chromosome, but he doesn't know what's going on. He says, ma'am, you have to go to the checkout. You can't bring products outside this elevator. And she just quickly looked at him and darted away and kept pushing that cart.
Like maybe she was trying to steal?
Out the front door, Mike.
Oh, she ran
by. Wow.
This kid... He raced after a called security on his walkie-talkie, and they caught him in the parking lot.
Oh, my God.
Wow.
You witnessed a
they
little theft?
They tried to get past Corky, and he said no.
Wow.
That's incredible.
Yes.
Well, it says here, Amazon computer overlords can also detect when you put something back on the shelf and decide not to buy it after all, so you won't get charged. So it's got sensors the way it'll
do
it. They're testing their first store right now with their employees, and they're going to open their first one for public consumption in Seattle sometime early next year. So I think that's just fantastic.
I think it's going to be a fast ramp up, because if you think about it, all they have is cash now with all their cloud services.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
We will see one in our area within a year's time.
That's awesome.
Very cool.
Can't wait.
I'm not sure how many women are going to agree with this, but Madonna claims to know why Donald Trump got what she called an insanely high percentage of the female vote. Here's her quote. By the way, there's another expert known as Carla O'Mara that probably agrees with everything Madonna's going to say here. This is the quote. Women hate women. That's what I think it is. Women's nature is not to support other women. It's really sad. Men protect each other, and women protect their men and children. Women turn inward, and men are more external. A lot of it has to do with jealousy and some sort of tribal inability to accept that one of their kind could lead a nation. I think this is extremely controversial, but I have heard it before in my own house. Carla said it for months. She said, we will not elect a woman in America. We will not elect a woman president. Now, you have other countries that have done it.
Sure.
So, as far as just being the sex of women, but as far as Carla was concerned, she kind of agreed with the whole deal with what Madonna's saying, where women, I don't know whether it's a jealousy thing. I don't know what it is, but that's the theory, and she's going to get... I think Madonna's going to take a lot of crap about it, but don't send any letters
to Carla. I agree with her. I think that my mom, even before this last presidential campaign, mentioned to me, she said, I think this country is... less racist than they are sexist. And I said, well, what do you mean by that? I said, well, she goes, I really thought that a Barack Obama would have been elected. I can see that.
Right.
But even before she went on her trail of tears with the campaign and crying and taking people to the actual polling place, she said, I think it's going to be hard for women to really, as you just mentioned, root on a woman. That's not their family member.
It's interesting.
Right?
A new study ranked all 50 states from the best drivers to the worst. It's based on things like total accidents, speeding tickets, DUIs, citations, and deaths. The 10 states with the worst drivers are Utah, California, Virginia, Maine, Nebraska, South Carolina, North Dakota, Colorado, Washington, and Arizona. 10 states with the best drivers, Rhode Island, Florida, Mississippi, Michigan, Nevada, Arkansas, South Dakota, Illinois, West Virginia.
You hate
Oklahoma.
Florida drivers.
Yeah, you hate it. That's a suspect list.
Yeah.
I didn't put the list together. I'm just a messenger. Oh, we're out of time. Sorry. Now time for a little something something. Cool. 24-year-old guy named Nathan Molesky went to a Green Bay Packers game on Sunday. And afterwards, he took a cab 111 miles to Richfield, Wisconsin. When they got there, Nathan's total fare was $475. He told the cab driver he had to go into a truck stop to go get the ATM money, but instead of getting the cash, he slipped out a back door and took off running. The cab driver called the cops, and they noticed that Nathan had left a trail of footprints in the snow. I watched the Packers game over the weekend. You know how the snowing like hell up there. So they followed the footprints. They found him sitting in a bar drinking, and he was arrested for defrauding a cab operator. He's facing a maximum sentence of 9 months in jail and a $10,000 fine. It was also easy to find Nathan at the bar since he was the guy wearing the cheese hat. There we go. Thank you very much. We'll take a break. Come back with the Audio Vault and Rob Spiewak right here on the Mike O'Mara Show. How about a little Jingle Bell Rock for everybody?
Jingle Bell, Jingle Bell, Jingle Bell Rock.
Hey, it's your buddy Oscar Santana.
And this is Todd Moore.
You know us from Tech 411, the tech show that's sweeping the nation.
That's right, and we are here to help get you all your tech news,
new episodes,
and apps you need to own.
Right.
It's very simple, and it's absolutely free. It's
very simple.
So subscribe on iTunes and check us out on the Moore Broadcasting Network.
And for the record, we're not banging.
Just want to clear that up.
Thank
still
you.
The case.
All right, very good. Welcome back to the Mike O'Mara Show, brought to you by Lost My Name. I read to Michael every night. His favorite book is still Lost My Name. This is a book all about him. You want to get the Uber Christmas gift, the gift that's going to make you a hero. You can do this for a granddaughter, a grandson, a son, a daughter, a niece, a nephew. Lost My Name is a wonderful new personalized book. All you have to do is go to their website. You can see how the book writes itself. Each child's adventure is based on the letters of their name. They make an entire story based on the letters of the child's name. It is fantastic. They follow the letters of their name throughout the book, and they discover that the story is all about them. It's much more than a typical personalized book, as you will find out. All you have to do is go to lostmy.name. Just go to lostmy.name and enter your little one's name for a free preview of their story. Once again, it's an unusual address, lostmy.name. You enter the TMOS checkout code for 10% off, plus shipping is free worldwide. Order in time for Christmas. It's an amazing gift. Visit lostmy.name and do it today, and you will love the reaction you get to this. My kid loves this. Their personalized story, Lost My Name, and it's lostmy.name. Do it today. Without further ado, let's open up the audio vault for today, Tuesday, December 6, 2016. Rob Spiewak. We're running super late. I'm sorry, Rob.
No sweat. You were talking technology in the news about the new grocery store from Amazon. There is a new computer program. They had it listen to 100 hours of streaming Christmas music.
Oh.
And the computer analyzed the melody and the lyrics and wrote a Christmas song and performed a Christmas song. So this is a Christmas song written and performed by a computer. Oh, hold on. No, this is different. This is.
Oh, no. Oh, he snuck it in there.
19 days.
19 days. 19 days.
Didn't see that coming.
19 days for Christmas shopping.
Hi there.
Only got 19 more.
All right. Hi there. How are you?
Hi there. Christmas is coming.
Hola.
Have you done your Christmas shopping? Right. Only 19 days left.
You know, you never answer, Mike.
Estoy borracho.
Have you done your Christmas shopping? He's asking.
For you.
That's true. So you're good.
You're the first person I've done Christmas shopping.
You've prioritized, and I think that's nice. Here is the actual Christmas song written and performed by a computer. If you can't make out the lyrics, I'll read them to you after the fact.
Lots to decorate the room. The Christmas tree is filled with flowers. I swear, this Christmas Eve, I hope that is what you say.
Terrible.
Best Christmas present in
it's
the
like a K-pop song.
Yeah.
I've always been there for the rest of our lives.
Like
100 and a half hours.
You're right. Christmas Eve, we are happy every day. Santa is bipolar. Santa is bipolar.
Do you want to play a game?
Can we play a game?
So that is still better than the Johnny Mathis Christmas album, though. The lyrics.
Arrival isn't the same as arrival.
The actual lyrics that
Thank
the
you,
computer
Google.
Came up with are. Lots to decorate the room. The Christmas tree is filled with flowers. I swear it's what you say. The best Christmas present in the world is a blessing. I've always been there for the rest of our lives. 100.5 years ago, I'm glad to meet you. I can hear the music coming from the hall. The fairy tale, a Christmas tree. There are lots and lots and lots and lots of flowers.
Even the lyrics.
Yeah.
Right? They're just so computerized.
Yes.
That's why they'll never come alive, because there's no soul.
You got a problem with that?
No, sir.
Hey, don't get an attitude, computer.
All right. Let's do a couple more real quick. Every month they put together the best news bloopers, and, you know, they're normally kind of jive. I liked this one. The word they were looking for was soporific. That means something that makes you sleepy.
Oh.
All right. They were talking about
that. Good word. One of the great words that's not used in the English language.
Soporific. And this is a... Thanksgiving story.
Clouds and rain showers on Thursdays. Jack and I were talking about earlier, that's the day that you just eat. You nap it off because, you know, turkey's a natural aphrodisiac. And then you, next thing you know, you watch a little football, have a little leftovers again, because leftovers, three.
What?
Did I say aphrodisiac? All right.
I was gonna
well, you have there. Turkey and have a little fun. So, Jack is going to drink.
In your dream.
Yeah.
So I like that. I thought that was pretty good because he had no idea what he would say. Let's close with this. Country singer Granger Smith, don't ever say that he is not a manly man. He fell off the stage this week, broke two ribs, and punctured his lung.
Oh, my God.
And finished his show before he got treatment.
Oh, my God.
Whoa. Let's close with this. Here's Granger Smith falling off the stage. And keep in mind, after the fall, he's got two broken ribs and a punctured lung. Would you taste these biscuits? That's so
sweet. Surprised it doesn't happen more often, to be honest with you. Surprised it didn't happen at our live show at the Improv.
Must have been a city boy that put that up there. But, wow. You know, make fun of his accent if you like. But that is a tough guy.
Rodeo guy.
Wow. Rodeo guy. Granger Smith. Mike, that's your Magic Audio Vault. Have a great Tuesday, everybody.
That's it. Thanks for joining us for another episode of the Mike O'Mara Show, brought to you by Soothe. It's the most stressful time of the year. Yes, the holidays are upon us and everyone is busy, and everyone could use a little relaxation in their life right about now. That's why you need Soothe. With Soothe, it's easier than ever to find time to relax, whether you're at home, at work, or traveling. Soothe delivers a massage to your door in as little as 1 hour. This is a great service. When it's time for your massage, a licensed therapist will arrive with all the essentials for a quality spa experience for you. You can book your massage in less than 10 seconds on their mobile app or their website, soothe.com. This is easy, it is fast, and who doesn't want a lovely massage this time of year when the stress levels are off the charts? This week, TMOS listeners get $30 towards their first massage with Soothe when they enter TMOS at checkout. Just search Soothe in the App Store or Google Play to download the app, or go to soothe.com and schedule your appointment today. That's soothe.com, promo code TMOS for $30 toward your first massage. Soothe, massage delivered to you. For Oscar Santana and Rob Spiewak, Mike O'Mara saying we'll see you next time. Bye-bye, everybody.
So long.
Ciao, ciao.
Mike O'Mara, Radio Entertainment.